Would you please be seated? May I speak in the power of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. 150 years ago, this very week, in a chapel just 25 miles from here, the so-called Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, penned a prayer so potent that its words have echoed down through the centuries. Named the Wonders of Calvary, it captures perfectly the cost, the wonder of Jesus' death and victory. And so today I wanted to share it with you. Great God, there was a time when we dreaded the thought of coming close to you, for we were guilty and you were angry. But now we will praise you, because your anger is turned away and you comfort us. Yes, the very throne which once was a place of dread has now become the place of shelter. I flee to you to hide me. Oh, bring us now, we pray, near to yourself. Let us bathe ourselves in communion with you. Blessed be the love which chose us before the world began. We can never sufficiently adore you for your sovereignty, the sovereignty of love which saw us in the ruins of the fall, yet loved us anyway. Never can we sufficiently adore free grace and undying love. The wonders of Calvary never cease to be wonders. They are growing more marvelous in our esteem as we dream on him who washed us from our sins in his own blood. Nor can we cease to praise the God of our regeneration, who found us dead and made us live, who found us at enmity and reconciled us, found us loving the things of this world and lifted us out of the muck and mire of selfishness and worldliness into the love of divine everlasting things. O Lord, all our help must come from thee. Give back to its church the love, the confidence, its holy daring, its consecration, its generosity, its holiness. Give back all it ever had and give it so much more. Take every member and wash our feet, sweet Lord, most tenderly. And set us with clean feet in a clean road, with a clean heart to guide them and bless us. Bless us, Father. And let all the churches of Jesus Christ partake in the care and tenderness, walking among the golden candlesticks, trim every lamp and make every light, even though it burns feebly now, to shine out gloriously through your care. Now bless the sinners, Lord. Convert us. O God, save men. Save this great city, this slumbering dead city. Lord, arouse it. Arouse it by any means that it may turn to its God. And now, to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost be glory forever and ever. Amen. On the 6th of January in 1850, aged just 15, Spurgeon was on his way to a scheduled appointment when a freak snowstorm curtailed his journey and he took shelter in a primitive Methodist chapel in Artillery Street, Colchester. While he was there, he was boredly flicking through a Bible when, as Spurgeon later recounted, he encountered what he later described as God smashing open his heart to the salvation message of Christ. At Easter, Christ makes a way for every heart to be smashed open, for generations on generations to encounter his resurrection power. Jesus came bursting forth from the tomb as an angel moves a huge stone away, the soldiers guarding him faint. And arguably, the greatest moment in human history has no human eyes to witness it. And as Jesus bursts out of the tomb and breaks free from death, the pain and anguish of Good Friday is smashed. This is a once-for-all event. And then the women approach the tomb. They're amazed and distressed in equal measure. Where is Jesus? They dash back to find the two male disciples and tell them they've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him. And gradually, the disciples leave, perplexed, until just Mary is left, heartbroken. She is trapped in the events of Good Friday. Her grief overwhelms her. She's standing in the semi-darkness of an early morning, facing the empty tomb, when a voice from behind her says, "Woman, why are you crying?" What a stupid question, she must have thought. "I'm crying because I've lost everything, the one who I loved, who I put all my hopes in. They have taken away my Lord," she said again, "and I do not know where they have put him." And then Jesus simply utters her name, Mary. And instantaneously, all her darkness and fear is smashed open. Mary's Good Friday is over. She is set free. Her grief turns to joy. Often, though, we are like Mary. We haven't really understood who Jesus is. We're trapped in our own pain, our own darkest places. But like Mary, he knows each and every one of us by name. He calls every one of us out of the darkness of our own Good Fridays, whether it be in a snowstorm, in a small chapel, whether it be in the car, driving back from hospital. Whether it is simply the day-to-day knowledge of his love. In the Old Testament, God says, "See, I've engraved your name on the palms of my hands." And it's almost as if in order to know us by name, Jesus first had to identify with our pain. In those agony of the nail-scarred hands, Jesus experiences all earthly suffering, taking it on himself, engraving it on his flesh, so that by him, God could call us out of our tombs by name. Over the coming weeks, we'll hear and think about how the resurrected Jesus sets the disciples free from their grief, how he smashes open their darkness too. Whether it's the disciples on the road to Emmaus who recognize Jesus in the breaking of bread. Those disciples hidden in an upper room who are broken open to wonder when Jesus walks through a closed door and says, "Peace be with you." Whether it's Thomas as he puts his fingers into Jesus' wounds. Peter, who having denied him three times, gets the chance to reaffirm his love for him. Where is Jesus for you? There are times when life feels unbearably tough, when we get stuck again in our own Good Fridays. But Jesus died on that cross for each of us. He rose again on the third day to bring our names to heaven so that we could be set free from eternal death and have eternal life. That we too can witness the power of that first resurrection, breaking through into our lives, helping us day by day, piece by piece. I often think of the tomb a bit like this egg. It's sealed on the inside, it's dark, and it's empty. But again and again and again, the power of the empty tomb smashes holes in our darkness, so that shattered piece by shattered piece, we are broken open to wonder. Alleluia.